You can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
It is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, we should think about these things, look for these things, in fact, according to St. Paul. So I think it helps to talk about them, too, share the good news that surrounds us. That is certainly what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that celebrates, affirms, and explores our Catholic identity in these modern times, so you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. We're coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in the Diocese of Orange in Southern California. And you can't see our beautiful surroundings, the landscape that surrounds us here in the Tower of Hope. But if you'd like to check out our studio, you can go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/callmecatholic. And there's a link there. You just click that link and it will take you right to a live stream of the show. You'll see us in real time, whether you want to or not. If watching us just isn't enough, give us a look, too. Now, this is where I usually say in the show that I am joined by my engineer and chief fact checker, Jimmy G. But Jimmy G is taking a much deserved day off. He's on his way to a concert in Las Vegas with his wife, as a matter of fact. So safe travels, Jimmy G. But I am in the capable hands of Ian, the most interesting man in the world. He's my tech anchor for the day. Thank you, Ian, for being with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You're kind of an expert in the studio yourself, so this is not your first rodeo.
I'm trying to hang on here.
Well, I thank you. I thank you. And I'd also like to thank our EWTN family at our home studios in Irondale for producing the show remotely today and taking our listener calls. Matt Gabinski, I salute you. It's kind of a virtual salute, but the team Call Me Catholic thanks you for getting us on the air today. It takes a family sometimes. In fact, we're going to talk about family matters today because I have my sister Joni in the house. She's my favorite co-host when she's in town from Atlanta. This is, I think, her fourth time on Call Me Catholic. She's an old pro. No emphasis on the old, by the way. So right off the bat, I want to give a big warm welcome to my sister Joni.
Thank you, Peggy. It's always fun to be here.
You're going to be my wingman.
I'm going to be your wingwoman.
Okay. Yeah, and we just came off of a fantastic family reunion, which is why she's in town. There's 30 of us, and we all gathered with our dear mom and all our kids and their kids, and had a great time.
You may find a little of that reflected in the conversation.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're all having a little bit of reentry issues because, you know, when you come off of a vacation with family, it's hard to return to normal. Now, you know, Joni, family is an irreplaceable unit that we're born into or sometimes we're raised up with. But that nuclear family is a model, really, for other relationships and communities to which we belong and that should be kind of like a family in our life. Take your parish family, for example. Our parish community really should be an extension of our family. This is our immediate faith family, and a well-formed parish community, like a family, enjoys each other, gets to know each other, and takes care of each other. Today we have three guests who address the need to support those in their parish family who are struggling with cancer. We all know what an overwhelming challenge that diagnosis can bring to the life of a family or an individual. 11 years ago, they formed the Cancer Ministry at St. Joachim Parish here in the Diocese of Orange to help those families and individuals coping with the trials of this very, very nasty disease. And since then, their ministry has become a model for other parishes across the country who also seek to serve their parish members who are struggling with cancer. Robert Zimmer, Tom Johnson, and Nancy Rohan are the founding members of the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry, and they'll be up in just a minute to share their stories with us. And we're going to invite you good listeners to call in and share your stories on this subject as well. It's a rich subject that I'm sure has touched many of your lives. You may want to jot the number down right now. It's 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. You're calling the mothership. We usually channel our calls right through our studio, but today, because we're remote, you're going right to the nerve center, okay? And if you happen to be outside of the U.S. or Canada and want to give us a call, the number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll bring you into this very important conversation about how our Catholic parishes can help support the cancer patients in our faith families. That's coming up in a minute. But first, it's the Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week, which today I'm going to be doing with my sister Joni. And since we've got family in the studio and we're talking about parish families, it's going to be the top five things family can teach us about God. Now, nothing in God's creation is an accident. Everything under his natural law is intended to teach us about him or to prepare us to share eternity with him in the next life. And the family is no exception. We're all born into a family. Even Jesus was born into a family, a very holy family. A lot of us wouldn't consider our family life particularly holy, but let's talk about that. So here we go. It's the Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week.
Bum, 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 bum. The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
With my sis, Joni. So here we go. What can family life teach us about God? Joni, you want to go first with number five?
Okay. Number five is a powerful scripture statement. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus healed the boy. That says very, very powerfully that God hears our prayers and answers them.
Wow, I like that, Joni. That's a good one to start off with. Okay, get scriptural on me, are you?
Getting scriptural.
Okay, my number five is, you're never too old to be parented. You know, in family life, we do a lot of parenting, and even as our children grow mature and have their own lives and off the family payroll, we know, you know, sometimes you need to call them up and give them a little parental advice. Even we parents need to be parented. My mother still gives me good advice. And guess what? God is our parent. He will always be our parent, and as his children, we continue to need his parenting throughout however many years we may live. That's my number five.
I like it.
Okay, number four for you, Joni.
My number four is reserved for family. You always notice that the first pews in the church, when we go to our significant moments as a family, our sacraments, our baptisms, our weddings, our first communions, our requiems, are reserved for the family. And that is the powerful statement that God is in our midst at this time.
Wow, that's beautiful. Okay. Joni's so much more serious, so has so more profound than I am, Ian. Are you picking up on that?
Very somber.
She ain't heavy.
Changing
the
mood here. I don't like it.
Okay. My number four is from the sublime to the ridiculous. God has a sense of humor. Okay. I mean, why any husband who shares a bathroom with his wife knows that God has a sense of humor. To put those two together and to share a bathroom in a home, he's got to be enjoying that scenario as it plays out. But, you know, family life has great sources of humor. I mean, we encounter it every day. You got to laugh. You got to enjoy life. And you got to look at the silliness sometimes and embrace it. And we know God definitely has a sense of humor through our family life. Amen.
Amen, sister.
What do you got for number three, Joni?
Number three, God's magnificent eagerness to forgive me is manifested every time my husband, my children, my mother, my sisters forgive
sisters.
My selfishness, my thoughtlessness, my very humanness. It's just a little bit of God's magnificent forgiveness.
Yeah, that huge well of mercy that he has. Okay, beautiful. My number three is the family teaches us something about God's creative genius. Now, family life is complicated, and we are in such intimate circumstances with each other that we see the intricacies of the human person, the human nature, the complications, the depth, the vast variety of talents and expressions that we have. And we realize this is just a touch of the brilliant creative genius that God maintains, used to create the universe. The family is kind of a little mini universe, and we get a glimpse of it in family life, of his creative genius. Okay, number two.
If your child asked for an egg, would you give them a serpent?
I mean, think about that.
Think about that. And every good parent says no every time they hear it. So how much more does God know what we need? And how much more willing is he to give it to us?
Yeah. Sometimes when we don't know, it's what we need.
When we don't know,
we know that
it looks like a serpent.
Oh, if it looks like a serpent and bites like a serpent, it is a serpent.
It might be an egg.
Might be an egg. Okay. Number two for me is when you live in family, you realize God has a vast number of personalities and capacities and faces. God has as many faces as there are human beings on the planet that have ever lived. What amazes me, this is something I've often thought about, is that the human face is pretty conformed to features. Two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two ears, oval, round. And yet everybody really looks different. How did he do that? How does he do that? I don't know. I mean, he's God, right? As Mother Angelica would say, he's God. Don't ask him. I mean, God has many faces. And even in our own gene pool, we see the many faces that our gene pool can manifest itself in.
Our family, very handsome faces.
Your family, too. I mean, yes, we do.
Our family.
Because, you know, love transforms. So we're all beautiful to each other when we love each other. Okay, Joni, what is your number one?
My number one is, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. Somehow transforms even the craziest wild family time, family meal, into a sacred moment. Because it's offered to God, and he is blessing that moment.
I love that. And to start every meal with grace is a beautiful way to reflect that. Okay, my number one is love, love, and love. I got to tell you, I've loved my family. I love my growing up. I love my friends. But when I held my first child, and then subsequently every one of my three sons for the first time, I felt a love that was so inexpressible, that was so unsurpassed by anything I'd ever felt before. It was the kind of thing where you said, I thought to myself, I'd walk over hot coals. I'd do anything for this being. I love them that deeply, that expansively. And here again, I think that's just a tiny little model of God's love for us. So I think we covered a lot of bases. No duplications, Ian. Aren't you impressed? Two sisters,
Very impressed. Yeah, that's great.
In the Colony Catholic Countdown. Okay. Those are the top five things family life can teach us about our good God with my sis Joni. You can learn lots of things about Call Me Catholic by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/CallMeCatholic, or join our Call Me Catholic Facebook family. It's kind of a family album. We answer your questions. We post pictures and podcasts. Coming up next, it's the founding members of the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry with stories of how the outreach they started 11 years ago has become a model for other parishes hoping to support members of their parish family coping with cancer. So stay with us. We've got lots of great conversation coming up. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We will be right back.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, friends. I am so glad you're spending this hour with us, or any portion thereof. I'm Peggy Normandin. And today on Call Me Catholic, we are talking about the way we treat and love our fellow family members. I'm fortunate to have in the studio with me today my sister Joni from Atlanta, helping me co-host. She's my wingman. She's always been kind of a wingman in my life. She's so much smarter than I am. Joni, are you enjoying it so far?
I'm enjoying it, and I'm especially enjoying the fact you have some very awesome guests.
Yes, we do, and it's a very rich subject. So, Joni, you and I were blessed to grow up in a beautiful, loving family. Our first dad went to heaven too early. Our second dad is also enjoying his eternal reward. But we've got our mother still with us, and together we're now a clan of 30. And even though we live in different places in the country, we still cling to each other. We support each other. We're important to each other. Our Catholic parishes, those people with whom we worship in our local community, are also real family. They're our faith family. And I love to see good Catholic parishes addressing the needs of their congregation like they would family. And there is one struggle from which no parish is immune, and that is the crisis of cancer. 11 years ago, Tom Johnson saw in his parish community of St. Joachim in the Diocese of Orange a need to reach out to individuals and families coping with the ravages of cancer. Today, the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry has become a model for other parishes hoping to serve and support members of their faith family who have been hit and bit by the cancer epidemic. Robert Zimmer and Nancy Rohan joined Tom Johnson in helping to build up the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry to the full service outreach that it is today. Tom Johnson, Robert Zimmer, and Nancy Rohan, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Hey, I also want to just mention to our listeners at this point that if you have a question or a comment for this panel of experienced parish cancer ministers, I'm going to call you, give us a call. The number is 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside of the United States or Canada, it's 1-205-271-2985. So give us a call if you'd like to share some of your stories of how your parish helped you through a cancer epidemic. Tom, I'm going to start with you because you are the founding member. You are the founder of the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry 11 years ago. What prompted you to develop this service for your parish?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a co-founder because there were many people involved. This is not a one-person idea, or it's not a one-person ministry, certainly. I was diagnosed with cancer myself in 2003, and then I had a reoccurrence in 2006. So I was lying in a hospital bed, and I made a promise. And that promise was that to show my thankfulness to God for my treatment and my remission, that I would try and do something. And
let me just say to our listeners that you are in robust health today, certainly.
Thank you. I've been very fortunate. My diagnosis was early. Please go to doctors and don't ignore signs of cancer. Early diagnosis is critical.
Yes, it is. And preventative measures are also
certainly
to build into your lifestyle. So, Robert Zimmer, you joined the organization early on. What were some of the first things you put into place, services or support measures you put into place to help cancer patients in your parish community?
Well, we looked at it as no one was really providing spiritual assistance to patients or parishioners. And so if we could do anything spiritual to help them, which wasn't being offered anywhere else, so we came up with having an anointing of the sick for anyone who was ill in the parish, and we would do that twice a year. And
so that wasn't being done?
No, it wasn't being done. I mean, before that, the priest would go to a hospital if someone was on their deathbed, but this was more for healing, either spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever it may be.
And was it difficult at first to find people that were open and willing to join this ministry? This is a tough ministry to work with.
I just also wanted to say another reason for the initiation was to share and pass along the compassionate acts that I and my family had received. After being released from the hospital and recovering, I went and spoke with Kathy Lewis at our church, who's director of faith formation. And I at first had no idea if there would be anybody else interested in this. And I was actually surprised that a few people were interested. And I might have expected three or four people to be at the first meeting, and there were more than that. I had my own personal vision, but I think one of the things that made the ministry good is that everybody had their own vision, and that the combined vision was very organic.
Mm-hmm.
And from the group and people bringing to the vision their personal thoughts and desires and what they thought would be good outreach.
Well, did most of these early contributors have an personal experience with cancer, either through their own lives or through the life of a loved one?
Absolutely.
So it's touched their lives and that, like you, they wanted to pay it forward.
Yes.
Nancy, tell me how you got involved with the organization. Nancy Rohan.
Oh, I was recruited, I think, by Tom and Robert. I myself have also had cancer, so I have breast cancer in 2008. So I think they just figured I would be interested. And there's a time period where you don't want to deal with it because you are dealing with a lot of sickness. And then you get to the point where you are ready.
Yeah.
And you just dive in, and we hear a lot of stories, and we have a lot of experiences that aren't always happy, but we just try and provide that support, and especially from the spiritual side. And we've done it for a lot of families with young children that we've helped at Christmas time. And it is heartbreaking. It's hard for all of us to go through that. But if we can offer some help, then that's what we try to do.
And how beautiful for a cancer patient to see you in your fine health be able to offer some hope, you know, like you get through this. There is hope here.
Absolutely.
And Robert, you also had a personal experience with cancer with your wife's terrible struggle.
Yes.
And she is in fine health today.
She is in fine health. She had was diagnosed in 2006. Actually, it was June 21st, 2006, 6 p.m. We got the call saying that she had chronic lymphocytic leukemia and small lymphocytic lymphoma, kind of a rare blood cancer disease. And so she went through a chemo, but she couldn't tolerate it. So she ended up, we went to Lourdes, France, looking for a miracle. And the miracle was we found someone who would donate his stem cells from a bone marrow transplant. And today, thank God, she is completely healthy and in full remission and cancer-free for about 6 years now.
Yeah, God bless her, and thanks be to God. So what are some of the other things you offer, other than, you know, of course, you are a spiritual companion to them.
You offer them hope. You let them talk. But don't you also support them with some of the hard logistical details that are suddenly imposed on their life with the treatment, with the diagnosis, with the imposition of cancer in their life?
We do.
I remember hearing someone tell me about a kit that you have, that you call it a cancer kit. And what are the ingredients of this cancer kit?
Well, some of the components of the cancer kit are a statue of St. Peregrine.
St. Peregrine. Now, he is the patron saint of cancer patients. And do you have any history of why he is the patron saint of cancer patients?
That one I have.
Here's our expert.
Yeah, take it, Nancy.
Here's our expert.
St. Peregrine was born in Italy, and he was actually part of an anti-Catholic group until St. Philip came to speak, and he pretty much got in a brawl. He hit St. Philip and then asked for forgiveness, and St. Philip was so good about receiving him and being kind to him that it changed his life.
Yeah.
He then was ordained a priest, came back and started the Servite community in his community. But for his penance, he always stood. And because of that, he got varicose veins and an open sore and then cancer on his leg. So they were going to amputate his leg, and the night before he prayed to Jesus and felt Jesus come down and touch his leg, was healed, and so that's why he became the patron saint of people suffering from cancer.
And we definitely need that today because of the widespread extent of this epidemic in our country.
Right.
We're speaking today with Robert Zimmer, Tom Johnson, and Nancy Rohan, core members of the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry here in the Diocese of Orange. Their model for serving and supporting cancer patients in their parish family has helped other parishes across the country develop a similar ministry. If you have a question or a comment for our generous team of God servants here, give us a call. We'd love to hear what your parish is doing, what experience you had in being the recipient of this kind of ministry. Our number is 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Or if you are outside of the U.S. or Canada, you can give us a call at 1-205-271-2985. Yeah, we'd love to hear what some of these other parishes are doing, especially in, like, Kentucky, for example, is the number one state for percentage of cancer. And it's got to be an issue that they deal with on a regular basis there. All right. Tell us what else is in the kit, the cancer kit. So we have a little statue of St. Peregrine, which I'm sure gives people great consolation to put on their bedstand.
There's also a prayer card that I believe is no longer patented, and it's called What Cancer Cannot Do.
Oh, so it's like a inspirational.
Very much so.
Right. It can't take your joy away. It can't take
exactly.
Your love away, that type of thing. It's beautiful. It's good to be reminded of that.
Yes.
You know what I think you need to put in there? I think people need to laugh. I remember visiting a friend who had terrible cancer, and she was absolutely miserable. Her name was Adriana, and she is from Mexico, and I was visiting her one day, and she said, I feel so terrible. I feel so terrible. Nothing makes me better. She said, I was thinking maybe I should go to my doctor and ask him for some marijuana. I'm thinking maybe I should smoke some marijuana. Do you think that would help me, Peggy? And I said, Adriana, marijuana? And we both just started laughing so hard that tears came to our eyes. And I thought, you know, this is the best medicine I could give her. Maybe you should put in there like a DVD of Bob Hope and Bing Crosby on the road movie.
How about old Seinfeld episodes? That would work.
See, we just laughed at the thought of that.
Yes.
Those were about nothing, right? So what else is in your kit? You've got a prayer card. You've got a St. Peregrine
and
statue.
A book of readings from a Catholic bookshop that's inspirational and helps people deal with their treatment.
Yeah.
And we've gotten good feedback on that, too.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to even have the energy to read when you have cancer, I suspect.
We have found that with most people, it's the statue of St. Peregrine. We've heard many families say that the person who is dealing with cancer, they put it by their bedside. And it provides them great comfort when they're going to sleep at night.
Those communion of saints, there's a saint for anything, right? Hey, if you have a question or a comment, you've experienced an outreach from your parish family when you were struggling with cancer, give us a call. We'd love to hear about it. It's 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Maybe you would like to start a parish ministry, a parish cancer ministry in your community. We have some experts here who can tell you how to get it started, how to find the volunteers to staff that kind of a very unique ministry. They have to really be compassionate. They have to be unafraid, right, to go in and face people that are really at their lowest points in life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so we have lots more great conversation ahead. I'm going to give you that number one more time because I know a lot of people have stories that they want to share with us. 1-800-585-9396. We're funneling you through the mothership, so you get to talk to Matt Gubinsky, the real pro call screeners over there. 1-800-585-9396. Let's talk about it. We've got lots more discussion ahead, so stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello there, friends, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you know by the name of my show that I am proud to brand myself as a practicing Roman Catholic. In fact, I don't always even feel deserving of that identity, but I am always happy and eager to defend the Church's amazing legacy, especially when it comes to serving others. You know, in addition to the Church's incomparable history of building schools and universities and establishing a network of unparalleled resources for feeding the poor and treating people that have all kinds of disabilities and are feeling very disenfranchised, here in the United States, the Catholic Church has a nonprofit hospital system of 637 hospitals, and that accounts for hospital treatment of one out of every five people, not just Catholics, in the United States alone. So that tradition of ministering to the sick is carried out in our parishes as well through volunteer outreach ministries like the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry. Its founder, Tom Johnson, or co-founder Tom Johnson, he, you know, whenever I announce somebody as a president or an executive, they always want to say, no, they don't want to take full credit for it. And Tom wanted me to make sure that I understood he was not the only founder. But he's got with him two of its core members from the ministry, Robert Zimmer and Nancy Rohan. And I'd also like to add that my sister Joni is helping me host today. I always invite her to share the microphone with me when she's in town from Atlanta. And Joni, you had a question you wanted to ask our panel of experts here.
I do. Happily and appropriately, you each began with a very positive story, your own story, your family story, of the best outcome, which everybody hopes for. There must be times when the ministry isn't able to see the outcome that we'd like, that someone is getting better, that remission occurs. Can you share with us how you handle those situations?
That's a beautiful point to make, and that's a difficult answer, I'm sure.
Well, it's more fun dealing with the positive outcomes than the less than positive outcomes. We had one family whose daughter, their only child, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so what we did as a ministry is we adopted the family for Christmas, and the cancer ministry, and there's about 18 to 20 of us who are active, we rallied around this family, and I brought over with a couple other people maybe two carloads full of gifts that were incredibly wrapped, nicer than anything at my home, to this family. And then her disease progressed, but she was able to make her first communion. So someone in the ministry bought Alondra her first communion dress, which was just beautiful on her. And the sad part was later that year she passed away and she was buried in her first communion dress.
Oh, like a little saint.
So we went back that same Christmas and one more time and we brought a whole bunch of gifts for her cousins and for aunts and uncles that were related to her. And the family was very appreciative, very thankful for the Church, our ministry, stepping up and helping out.
Wow. That's quite exquisite story.
And emotional.
Very emotional. I mean, it continues to be emotional. I love the fact that you continue to circle back around the family because it wasn't over for them.
Right. You know? And what was interesting, when we just did this most recent anointing of the sick in May, they came to the service for the first time, Veronica and Gabriel, and they were there for healing because they were still feeling the pain of their daughter's loss.
Joni?
That's particularly powerful for me because just a few weeks, 3 weeks ago, I lost one of my very dearest friends to cancer, and she passed away 10 weeks to the day from the diagnosis. And so it was very quick. It was very, there wasn't even time to imagine. What will we do? How will we help Margaret and her family? And
how did your parish community reach out?
Our parish did rally. It helped that she was one of the most popular women in the city of Atlanta.
Wow.
But the clergy were so wonderful. And I'm hoping that you would share that your priests, that the deacons,
are involved in your ministry as well, not just anointing, but in the visiting and the being present, because we saw with Margaret what that meant to her when one of the priests would stop by and just spend a little time.
Yeah, the Roman collar carries so much spiritual gravitas that it just speaks in a way that we can't always. Tom, you had a comment you wanted to make?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was just scratching.
Well, no, I get something of a different perspective from Robert, although I agree with him, is that, and I was at the Stations of the Cross once, and it occurred to me that the fourth station of the cross is Jesus meets his mother. And, you know, Mary stood boldly by Jesus at the crucifixion. And there was a risk in being there, but her presence and caring brought comfort. And so there is comfort in standing by those who suffer, even though their suffering cannot be relieved. So I believe in our ministry, we may not affect the outcome, but just being present matters.
Well, you know what's another challenge in a very challenging ministry, but a very rewarding and a very important ministry, is the fact that when you meet this person for the first time, if you don't know them, you don't know what that face is going to be. It could be an angry face. It could be a sad, desperate face. It could be a face at great peace. So you have to be prepared to deal with any and all of these ranges of emotions that cancer patients experience.
Yes, that's true. I think our perspective is, my perspective is that we reach out to people in the community. Every individual handles cancer differently, and we don't force ourselves on anybody. We're available, we advertise, we publicize, but everybody handles the disease differently, and if they want our help,
right,
I believe they need to seek us out because we don't want to force ourselves.
Well, do you find that some people really are very private? In other words, this is a private struggle and they are more comfortable not having to cope with company or to cope with outside influences?
The vast majority of people don't want to discuss their cancer. They don't want people to even know they've been diagnosed. They'd rather just deal with it with inside their own family.
Yeah.
When they do come to our meeting, then at that time, they will usually communicate to us. We ask them, well, what brought you to our meeting? And they'll say, you know, either a spouse or a sibling or someone in their family is dealing with cancer. And then usually they'll start crying and emoting, and then we'll start crying, and we get through it.
Well, somebody has to keep it together.
Well, we don't cry the whole meeting.
Tears are very healing. We have a caller that has a question or a comment for you. Welcome to the show, Brother Daniel. You're from Spokane, Washington, and you are listening to EWTN on Sacred Heart Radio. Thanks for calling in. Brother Daniel, are you with us? Aldo Brudinska. Oh, I see. He's telling us that there is another patroness, St. Alda Bronduska.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, sorry, Brother Daniel. You'll have to endure. We're having a long-distance connectivity issue today. Thank you for joining us.
Right on. And she was a mystic in the 12th century.
Now, repeat her name, Brother Daniel.
St. Aldo Brunduska. She was a German. Her feast is April 26th, and she would cure breast cancer with a glass of water.
Wow.
I want to hear more.
There is a, he used to come on EWTN all the time and do Lives of the Saints. He's written several books, and my mind is blank.
Father Benedict Rochelle?
No, this was a layman.
Oh, a layman, okay.
Saints for Every Day or something, but she was wonderful. And Isaiah 38, 8 to 20, it's the canticle that we say every other Tuesday at morning prayer, you know, where I utter shrill cries, I mourn like a dove. The living shall praise thee, O Lord. And I myself was diagnosed twice. It turned out not to be, but the doctor sent me home and gave me less than 50s to come to make it.
Wow.
And he said, I don't know what your church does, but whatever they do, they better do it. And because I wanted to be anointed, my brother said, no, they don't do that. Well, wow. I was anointed.
Get a second opinion on that.
And they, when they did surgery, they found out both times that it was negative. I was very badly infected. But one of the ladies who worked with me in the phone company said, Dan, you've done everything you can do. Let us put you in our arms and let us carry you.
Wow.
And, you know, you might want to put an indulged rosary in that little cancer kit with a book on how to pray it.
The rosary is a very consoling prayer. You're right. It's a very consoling devotion because it's easy to do. It's repetitive, and the mysteries help us, our minds dwell on the life of Christ and the Blessed Mother's beautiful presence. I think that's an outstanding story, Brother Daniel. Are you in good health today?
By the Lord's grace, yes, I am. I have been, I'm a Montfort missionary, so a slave of Jesus and Mary. And when the Lord sent me to earth, he didn't wire me for television. Brother Daniel, if I wire you for TV, you won't see me, so I'm wired for sound, and that's why I'm still around.
Well, you're doing pretty well with radio.
Yeah, right. I've been blind since 5 months after birth. I was a preemie. And see, the other advantage to the rosary, folks, is if you get the proper a priest with the proper faculties, you turn the crucifix into a pardon crucifix. So if the person's dying and a priest can't get there, someone puts it in their hands and says they act of contrition and they gain the plenary indulgence.
Mm-hmm. This is all good stuff for the cancer ministry. This is outstanding, beautiful contribution to our conversation, Brother Daniel. Where do you live in Spokane, Washington? Are you in a monastery?
No, I live in my own home.
Okay.
I support myself. I'm a virtual assistant, otherwise known as executive secretary.
Very good.
The lady
you must have good legs.
Daniel, She says, oh, Daniel, don't you know that's so 20th century? You're a virtual assistant. I answer phones and take care of accounts and things like that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, let me ask you, did you know about Aldo, St. Aldo, before you went through your trial?
No, I did not. I knew about Peregrine, but maybe somebody will remember. It was a gentleman who would give little pieces on Lives of the Saints. And he wrote
On EWTN.
Yeah, on friendship, and one of the saints that was a Benedictine that wrote on friendship, and it was. He said, "If I would have known about these saints, I would have named my kids, and they're probably glad I didn't." But you know, who helped me was our Mother Perpetual Help.
Yes.
And the second time that I went to surgery in '91, the wound infected, and they rushed me to emergency surgery. And it took 2 years for it to close. And the doctor told me that if it breaks open, I'll live 7 days and I'll be gone because it'll infect.
Wow. Well, you have beat all the odds, Brother Daniel. God bless you. And he is keeping you among us for very good reasons. And you've already enlightened us and uplifted our conversation here today and given us a great contribution to this conversation about cancer. How we can serve those, how we can empathize and receive from people if we are also cancer victims. So thank you for your call, Brother Daniel. God bless you. And call back again. We'd love to hear more from you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I want to just quickly read the cancer mission statement that you have, because I think it will give everybody a sense of how comprehensive your services are. And this is the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry. It says, the cancer ministry is a Catholic faith-based ministry whose focus is to provide spiritual comfort, compassion, and practical assistance in a confidential and respectful manner, primarily to families affected by cancer. Additionally, the ministry strives to increase awareness and education about the disease. The ministry serves its members by offering them a supportive, empathetic sanctuary where they are experiencing difficulty in their lives. I think that's so beautifully worded because you really are touching on all the symptoms, the evidence of cancer in a person's life that really needs to be addressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really beautifully worded. And I love the fact that you put in there confidential.
Very important.
I liked respectful.
Respectful, yeah. So if someone is thinking about starting a cancer ministry in their parish, what would be some advice you'd give them? What would be the first step?
First of all, you need to have passion and concern about this topic.
Well, if they're interested in doing that, I'm assuming that they have the passion.
Go to the pastor.
Okay, that's a good
first step. Go to the pastor and see if you can get the pastor on board with your vision
of what you'd like to do in terms of your cancer ministry and serving your parishioners.
Yeah, okay.
And I would think that after doing that, that the mission, that develop your own mission. Maybe our mission statement works, maybe it doesn't. But yeah. Use that as a base, but create your own vision, what works for your group and for your particular
and
parish.
Your particular demographic. Some people have a lot of military in their parish. Some have elderly. Now, folks, just as an aside, I would imagine that it's important when you're coping with cancer to keep your outlook positive. Feed your mind with hopeful and very life-affirming imagery. And in some cases, that might mean avoiding some of the daily news feeds that spill out of our modern media. Spit out, actually. A daily diet of some of that stuff is not the best for our well-being. But I will direct you to a daily news source that's healthy and constructively informative. That's the Catholic News Agency, CNA. It's an online service from EWTN News. In fact, it's the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news service that brings you blogs and stories and opinions intended to keep you informed and uplifted. And it's all right there at your fingertips. So for the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com, another great resource from our EWTN family. You know, Tom, we were talking about ways that people can visualize how to get this started or launch a parish cancer ministry in their parish. And I'm also going to direct them to a parish that also seems to be doing this. When I was researching around the internet, I found a parish in Plano, Texas, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and they have a beautiful page in their parish website that is devoted to this ministry. And they have a list of all the things that you can volunteer doing. They say you can babysit. Can you babysit? Can you do light home repairs, light housekeeping, grocery shopping, obtaining a quilt or shawl, knitting or crocheting, meals, rides. So they list. And so it's really easy for somebody, a volunteer, to say, you know what? I can do some grocery shopping for somebody that needs, me to run an errand for them. So it's really nice when people have very concrete things to do.
Well, we did actually start out, and that's one of my first things I did is we had a couple, and he was suffering, and he was in the hospital all the time. He's our gentleman with brain cancer. He's a very positive person. He's unbelievable. They asked if we could babysit their two young boys. I just went over there. She had never met me, but because we came through the church and the ministry, she said, okay. And took up, and we adore their children.
So it's a win-win, because you probably had a lot of fun with them.
But that helped them so much just by watching her two boys so that she could go run an errand or go to the hospital.
And you know you're going to trust somebody in your parish community, even if you don't know them. Hey, we have another caller. We are going to speak with Mary from Newport Beach, California. She's listening to Call Me Catholic on iHeartRadio. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Mary.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. I love the show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
I wanted to just add something to the ministry, the possibility, something as simple as ongoing cards, ongoing notes, messages, phone calls. You know, there's so much outpouring when you're first diagnosed with cancer, but after that dramatic diagnosis and everyone is, so sympathetic and all that, sometimes it sort of dies off. And I had a friend who just on a weekly basis would send me just a card, just saying, hi, thinking of you. And, you know, that helps you know that you're not just getting through this by yourself.
And what an outstanding observation.
Suggestion is something very simple that you can do without taking a huge chunk of time out of your day or.
Yeah, and it's so satisfying to see someone's handwriting in a little note like that. It's very gratifying. And Mary, you make an excellent point. I think a lot of people think, I don't know what to do. What can I say? What'll I do? And so they don't do anything. And you've offered a very constructive, very accessible, contribution someone can make. Thank you. Tom, you had a comment?
Well, I just wanted to add to that. I think that's a great example. Compassion can occur in seemingly minor acts. You don't have to make a huge commitment. One simple act that may be meaningless to you in terms of your time can help somebody. For me, it was a somewhat of a curmudgeon neighbor coming down and telling us, I'm going to take him to chemo a couple days a week.
Oh, see.
And one weekend when I was really, really ill, it was a parishioner saying, our daughter was 12 at the time, I did not want her to see me that sick, them saying, send her over to go swimming.
Oh.
So.
See, don't judge people either. That's a beautiful, you have a, it's kind of like a Mr. Wilson neighbor, you know, the curmudgeon, and here he's got the big tender heart.
Yeah. Well, as it ended up, she's a cancer survivor, so she related to it. So, I think one thing to take away is small acts, like a written note, some acknowledgement, some form of caring can make, when you're dealing with the illness, you have a lot of boxes to check every day. Mm-hmm. Help somebody check a box.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Robert Zimmer, Tom Johnson, Nancy Rohan, thank you so much for joining us today on Call Me Catholic. Joni had one more comment she wanted to make.
I was just going to say, just as sort of a springboard, Mary, a card ministry is something that every parish should look to, and it's what a great tie-in with the cancer ministry. But a card ministry itself is beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Just do something. Yeah, that's beautiful. And you can find a Hallmark card that says it all. You just have to sign your name with a little, you know, thinking of you. That's beautiful. I hope we've given all of you listeners some good food for thought today on how you can serve cancer patients in your community. It's a great struggle, and it's everywhere. It's touching all of our lives. So thank you guys, the three of you, for modeling a profoundly important support resource we can offer our parish families. And coping with cancer should not be a walk. We walk alone. So the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry is a beautiful reminder that we are family, and we help each other through good times and bad. And God bless you. And St. Peregrine, pray for us and for all those suffering from the difficult trials of cancer.
Thank you, Peggy.
So thank you so much. Hey, okay, so before we close our great and rich show today, I'm going to reconnect with my sister Joni through a little little game we're going to play. You know, sometimes I don't call these, with our very special guests, as Jimmy G knows and Ian's learning, with our special guests, we really like to have a little story, kind of a story starter is what I call them. And I'm going to call this one, Joni, are you with me? Are you on board now? You up to
maybe,
the mic?
Maybe.
You're going to wait and see what I got on board for you, huh? It's called, and I'm looking for my notes here on this, it's called First or Last. And all you have to do is answer my question. Give me the first answer that comes to your mind, okay?
That's easy for you to say.
Here we go. First priest you ever knew?
Oh, Father Bill Hollinger.
How old were you?
Probably 3, 4. He was my dad's friend from life, my dad's childhood friend.
Yeah, Daddy had a lot of friends that
rest
were priests.
In peace, Father Bill.
His best friend in college was Father John McAnulty.
That's right.
Yeah, so but I was probably too young to know him. Oh, my sister's scowling at me right now. Okay. Last time you sent a Mass card to someone?
Last week, I send Mass cards to my nieces and nephews on their birthday. I send them a birthday card, Mass card for their Saints' Day.
I know. I set you up for that one, see, because I know you do that, and I think it's beautiful, so
right.
I wanted to mention
some
that.
Of them are a little esoteric. But
no, and who?
Fortunately, I don't have to look for a St. Tiffany.
You can't exchange it. No refunds available. Okay, first saint you were drawn to?
St. Teresa the Little Flower.
Okay. Last time you volunteered at your parish, last job you volunteered for at your parish? You can say the one you have right now.
Well,
you're always volunteering.
I'm on the liturgy team. I'm a lector. I'm Eucharistic minister.
All at the same time?
All at the same time at the Cathedral of Christ the King in Atlanta, Georgia.
You know, you should be really be hosting Call Me Catholic, I think. Okay. First sacrament you remember receiving?
First communion.
Do you remember it? Do you have a memory of it?
I do have a memory of it. It's a shameful memory. The day before I was in the first grade, usually you should be in the second grade. I was called up to the desk by the sister and she said, now you're going to make your first communion tomorrow. What is it you're thinking about? And I said, my new dress.
Well, nothing's changed much there. It's all about the outfits with Joni. Joni is my sister, my soulmate, my better self. Thank you for joining me today on Call Me Catholic. You know that co-host seat is always open to you. By the way, thanks Matt Gabinski and company for producing our show today. Coming up next is Barbara McGuigan and 2 hours of The Good Fight. Always very excellent conversation. I want to thank the St. Joachim Cancer Ministry for joining us today and inspiring so many other people out there in the country to establish a similar cancer ministry in their parish. Hey, but mostly, we just want you to tune in again next week, same day, same time for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but as you know, you can always call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.